July 24, 2023, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
Senza tetto, senza abito, freddo abituale. Considerare, assiderare dall'abnorme, deforme all'orma inormate, normale. Ma dentro la terra umana è più che in cieli divini. Tra miceli, fungini, radici e voragini, come nel golgo in cui più d'uno è morto. Noi, cercatori d'altro, scavamo cunicoli. Ma più che carbonari o vietnamiti, siamo diventati solitari cavernicoli. Un po' come se i partigiani delusi del dopoguerra fossero tornati sui monti o sottoterra, rinchiusi ed autoesclusi. Come fantasmi di bimbi sepolti in alberi sacri, come cattedrali per i Jap Wurrum, nativi australiani. O forse senza sforzi, non nel senso che abbia la testa sotto la sabbia, ma è che è così che veniamo fraintesi da tutti. È il paradosso degli hikikomori, tutti asociali ma social, ossia solitari come soli. Dentro a questa infinita caverna socratica di peruranica salita, labirintica, quindi chindica via d'uscita per tornare a chi davvero sia sopra la terra, non si accorge che il peggior labirinto è quello senza muri e senza ricerca. Noi siamo fatti della stessa sostanza del suolo, onde invisibile finché non muovo un lenzuolo. Oggi che si traducono spiriti in codici per renderli controllabili, plus valorizzati. I fantasmi sono inappropriati, inappropriabili, infestano ogni codice come lo xeno, linguaggio dei disabili, come corpi morti, semiotici in quelle piramidi che sono le parole che usiamo in contesti abituali e rapidi, quasi fossero oggetti uguali e scambiabili. Ogni trama che si tramanda nei pensieri, sieri di ieri, come parte di patria che vive dentro ogni monumento, sottoterra nei cimiteri, è un fatto di fantasmi che assiste, ne assillano logi nei suoi pensieri. Chi cerca fantasmi come i Ghostbusters tecnologicamente dimentica che in una libreria il fantasma non è un mostro viola o verde, ma il libro che ti prende, che perde, ti riprende, ritornando eternamente ogni volta diverso. Ma tutti hanno paura del diverso, che sia un diverso etnico, oppure un diverso modello economico o etico. Qualcuno vuole che tutto resti come adesso, ma anche quella destra è impossessata dallo ieri, ma l'oggi risorge, insorge, in piogge di desideri.
Watch for Pedro show. Happy Monday, people. Last Monday of July, huh? Start off with John Coltrane, live, 1962, November 22nd. Mr. PC wrote a song for Paul Chambers' incredible bass man. And then we had Oliver Mann, Stefano Pelia, featuring Zona MC, or MC Zona, I think we say over here, huh? Tesori e Difetti. Scusi for the fucking bullshit accent, sorry. Oliver, I want to start with you. Can you please bring your first or your earliest musical recollection, memory?
In my life or with Steph?
In your life, your earliest. We'll get to him, but he's down the road a little bit.
Okay. Going in the family car with family, and I was obsessed singing all the time, and my brother's next to me, and I start singing this song over and over again, and then he tells me to shut up. That was one of my first memories, but it was a nice memory because he was smiling when he said, "Can you please shut up?" Now, and that's, I think, maybe one of the first times I remember thinking that someone could hear me.
Okay. Now, was he older brother or younger brother?
Older brother.
Yes, progenitor issue. Yes, of course. what's Harry called? The Spare, right? He called his book Spare or some shit like that. Anyway, the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments, or was your voice your first musical instrument?
Yeah, definitely my voice was my first instrument. And, there was a lot of music listening. So neither of my parents played instruments, but they listened to music all the time. So there was always, my dad loved, like, the Dubliners and, like Luke Kelly, early Dubliners, which is like a kind of like Irish folk revival band. Except this guy had a voice like, it's just incredible, beautiful, very beautiful voice, and those kind of those reels, those Irish reels, would just go round and round again like magic.
Oh, yeah, I love them. They're beautiful. Did, let me ask you this. Were you in the choir, the marching band, or shit like that in school?
Not at school, no. We didn't have a choir. Australia lacks a bit in the kind of musical education in school, but I was lucky enough to fall into it. Like a church choir, and I was there for like 7 years, and that was intense because we rehearsed like four times a week, and we'd have to perform once twice a week, and I was in that for 4 years from like the age of 7 to 11 before my voice changed, and I did out of that I did like operas with the national company, and So the music was very intense, but very beautiful. And
you mean castrato wasn't an option? What was the first record you bought with your own money, Oliver?
The first record I bought with my own money would have been a Cass single, and it might have been something like Poison, Something to Believe In. Remember that single?
No. But what was the first gig you saw live?
One of the first gigs I saw live was John Farnham. He's like an Australian singer. And he did a concert around this album called Jack's Back, because he was called Jack, and his second album was called Jack's Back. That was big. I remember going to see it at the National Entertainment, well, the Victorian Entertainment Centre, Melbourne Entertainment Centre, and all the light techies were, their feet were hanging down from the rigging above the stage, and they had coordinated a little foot dance.
A little foot dance. Okay. Yeah. I guess that was their version of a pit, right? Slam pit.
No, it was more kind of calisthenics vibe.
Okay.
it was a bit weird.
Yeah, I remember the Gears had this song, Don't Be Afraid of Pogo. It was like, yeah, the most hilarious lyrics, you know, don't be afraid of Pogo, don't be afraid to relate. If it wasn't for this kind of music, you would be in this place. I got a reason to Pogo, I got a reason to relate. Yeah. When Slammin' came, that was all over, right? Pogo is more up and down. Slammin's more left to right, not really respectful of personal space so much. I remember one time seeing this Slayer gig, and it was like a gigantic spin cycle of a fucking washing machine. like 3,000 kids just beating the shit out of each other. Good fun.
Yeah, okay.
Now, after school, after the church stuff, not school, but the church stuff, how do you continue on musically?
And then I took up drums, and I played drum kit for a long time. And I started playing gigs probably when I was 15 in pubs and bars, 15, 16, because my older brother started the band. He was a singer. And so, yeah, I spent the next, after my voice changed, I just took up drums and played drums for 6 years. I was always the type of person who just liked practicing and mucking around.
Did you have a teacher or were you an autodidact?
Say it again.
Were you a teacher? Did you go to a teacher and get lessons, or were you autodidact?
No, with guitar, I just taught myself. But with drums, I took lessons, and I also played in a marching band, so I did a lot of rudiments and stuff like that.
The marching band, what? Like in school or a private marching band or what?
It was a like a Scottish pipe band, so I played the slide drum.
Sure, we call them field drum. So you used a traditional grip then, right?
I used to use, it was like reverse orthodox. So instead of cradling the right hand, instead of cradling the left hand, I cradled the right hand.
Oh, okay, because you're right-handed. Yeah. So,
I played match.
With rock and roll, with the trap kit, right?
Yeah.
And let's see, what do we got here? Do you remember your first gig on drums?
Yeah, I remember that. It was a place called The Art House, which is a pub in Melbourne where you could get a gig pretty easily. It was like a punk venue. And I would have been 15, I reckon. And, yeah, I remember that gig.
Now, was this band the one where your brother's the singer?
That's right.
And this is the same brother who told you to shut up when you were singing in the car?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just trying to get it straight. Just get it straight. So now, what was the name of this band?
It was called the Steer Pikes, and it was named after Mervyn Peake. He wrote the Gormenghast trilogy. Anyway, it was one of the characters from that book. Good book, quite gothic. And yeah, it was good.
Call it a success.
The gig? Yeah, it was. There weren't many people there or anything like that, but it was the type of venue where, you know, quite often at the gig there'd be you and the mixer and the bartender.
Yeah, we call those character builders.
Yeah.
I have the character
besides. I had a lot of them.
Yeah, I got character the size of Australia.
I also had my first solo gig there as well, probably maybe five years later.
What'd you do for a solo gig? Play drum solo or sing solo?
No, I sing solo and play guitar and use like tape machines and I had a little dictaphone that I carried around and I used to work at a library, so I'd do a lot of story times at the library for little kids, and then that kind of worked its way into my live gigs somehow. Anyway, that was kind of weird.
No, the same thing happened to me and Kay with Dose. Started off making background music for little stories she'd read to her nephews. Shit like that happens. Toste gave me some music here with Valerio. This is called Number One, but we'll get to some of your music too.
Thank you. The past is eating the future. This is our age. We can't get together until the end of time. It's just that I don't want to be in my life right now. I'm sorry, but I love this song. This room has no windows. Annihilation of space by time. Overcoming spatial barriers. Speeding up. Limitless growth. There are no doors either. Just a bunch of screens. Looking for a new TV series to watch. Sustainable capitalism versus military intelligence. Just look around. Terabyte after terabyte of memory waiting to be filled. Yes, for sure. There is something real outside. But you will never find nature.
We still believe that nature is over there.
Sunny weather last week was nice. Sure, because the world evaporated
2 years ago.
And now the objects are taking revenge. And they are taking control of false memories. They are keeping secrets. They are in my time. Everything is enlightened, but I can't see clearly myself. Am I going to be trapped through my entire lifetime? Am I the stuff of a deep dream? Am I spine?
Trails of fog, of alcohol. He fails to do his best to be indifferent, all the same. Cause there ain't no shaking the smell, there ain't no shaking the spell. As blonde and white Walker writes the screen. Well, Joey's all though he has something to confess. Above the sound of 10,000 creaking necks all crane, Joe says, alone among the beasts and freaks, I tripped a tightrope walking while I attended Blondin's, Percherons and Trailers. I'd see him training in the evening. There was no point trying to speak, you see. I doubted that he'd have time for the strangers who'd be there hoisting up his big tent, be there spying him from the night, staring down on them like batshit in 8K. Well, we hardly even met, but see, I worked for him. I thought I'd fill the space he left, but no, I was naive. Just another sideshow, slow, I thought he knew something I don't. But it would seem all these wire walkers have is just to meet to make you feel so bad. Man, no one cared for him at all until he crossed Niagara Falls. So you'd all feel a little lower down the scale. And then his fame shot straight and fast right through a gloomy narrow path. He chanced through darkness, lightning, storms, and into day. But I ain't here because he's tall. I'm only here to see him fall. If I get on the wagon now, it'll only be the running
Watch for Pedro show. Start off that chunk of music. Number one from Roman numeral one, huh? Stefano Pelia, Valerio Toccoli. And then we had Spime.im. I think these are Italian musicians. Featuring Stina Fors with Crystal, brand new. Gareth Littard with Blondin Makes an Omelet. Infinite River, Summer Session number two. And then Stefano Pelia with Aria, part three, Roman numeral three. Valerio, earliest musical memory, please, per favor.
Dimmi. Earliest musical memory? My parents were like really unmusical, but somehow there was like a Bon Tempi organ at my place, which they both, I can't remember, for me or for my brother who's like a year older. And that was it. I wasn't like really listening at music at all when I was like...
No. The question is, what's your earliest musical memory?
Yeah, this Bon Tempi organ.
This organ.
Playing this one organ.
Let me ask you, did you jump on that organ? Or did you have instruction? Did you have take lessons? What am?
No, nothing like that. No. I don't know. My parents got it, and, you know, it's like a small, fat kid's organ, so to say. Yeah. Italian made. And, I was just like playing random notes that I liked on it.
What about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir? Shit like
no,
that?
In school we were in Italy back then. Mostly we were playing the flute, but it was decided after like 1 week into like first grade school that I wasn't good at it, so I was not playing it.
What was
like
your...
only like five what? Kids.
Let me ask you, what was the first record you bought with your own money?
With my own money, in the sense like money that my parents would give to me.
Yeah, because when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so the thing that you buy first.
I was buying all that, like, I can't remember now what was the first, but it was all that, like, Pink Floyd, King Crimson, and, you know, all this, like, all in the prog psychedelia when I was around, like, 12 or 13, you know?
And what was the first gig you saw?
I was living in Palermo, and there were no gigs. I think, like, the first gig I saw... I was like 18 and I was in Bologna, and it's like would have been something like completely crazy. It would have been like Shellac or Transonic, like the first year that I moved out of my hometown.
Okay.
Like I really didn't have like a very strong musical teenager years, so to say.
Yeah, I know Shellac played Katana, right? There's a band there that opened up for them.
Catania is like a kilometer from Palermo. There was stuff happening in Catania when I was like in school, but really not in Palermo, you know?
Okay.
So we were listening to records, but the idea of going to a gig was like simply impossible. We didn't drive. There was like, you know, no trains.
Okay.
I think the band was probably Uzeda.
Yeah.
Uzeda.
That's what I'm talking
course.
About. Remember two or three of the band members came to see us play for Telestick.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very nice people. And actually very good band.
Yeah, from Catania. Yeah. They were actually opening this Shellac concert in Bologna, as a matter of fact.
Ah, so same tour.
Back then, yeah. We are talking like 1995, 4, I don't know, something like that.
Okay. And so you really don't do music in school. It's out
no.
of school. Okay. And do you get into the garage band, basement band kind of thing?
Yeah, I had a band with like two or three friends shifting, but that really didn't last long, didn't go anywhere.
And what did you play? What did
we
you play?
Just basically talking pots. That was like all that thing, you know.
Yeah.
About this mess.
What instrument did you play?
I played the bass.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Bravo. So what was your first bass?
It was a Fender Nameless bass.
Okay. And what about...
It was a Fender cheap bass.
And what about amplifier?
It was black. I don't have it anymore.
What about amplifier?
I really have no idea, Mike.
Okay. Well, I'm kind of...
Like, I told you, it was like really, like... basic.
Yeah, but you gotta understand where I'm coming from. I'm a little prejudiced towards bass.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Excuse me. So, do you remember your first gig playing bass?
We never played a gig.
Oh, it was just a practice band. Okay. Now, did you?
It was like a practice band.
Tell me about the material.
Somebody, yeah.
What about the material? Were you trying to copy songs off records like me and D Boone, or were you?
We were making our songs.
Oh, great.
But the reality that, like, the drummer, like, you know, we were like three classmates, and the drummer, he was like so shit that there was like no way to ever like do anything, you know.
So you're blaming the failure on the fucking drummer. Okay. Why do people always want to blame the fucking drummer? You know, we're talking about rhythm music, man. The drums are the most obvious rhythm player in the whole fucking band, and everybody wants to put blame on the drummer. Well, I think it's actually a very difficult instrument to operate because your whole body is involved.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I'll show you how I feel myself connected. I thought at first when D Boone's mom put me on bass, oh, four string guitar. All these years later, now I understand four string drum set, not four string guitar. Yeah. It helps a lot. So, how do you meet Fratello Stay? In Bologna?
In Bologna, what? Sorry, Mike.
Well, this collaboration you got.
I met Stefan in Bologna, of course. Yeah, like a few.
Well, I wasn't there. You got to tell me when I can read minds. You won't have to use words, but until then, please. So, you're in Bologna, and you meet him. What?
Yeah.
Was this when you were going to school? Tell us.
I was going to the university. Yeah.
Okay, and because I know he was going to music school too, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't going to a music school. Okay. I was actually going like to a division of the literature and philosophy university that was like on cinema studies.
Okay.
Like I never studied music one minute in my life.
Okay. And what made this happen?
The fact that I'm a musician or the fact that I was like...
No, you met him.
I was studying cinema because I really liked cinema and I...
No. I'm asking you.
What made it happen to meet Stefano?
Yes.
Yeah, we met through Tim Roberts.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
he was on the show a couple of months ago. He's living in Berlin now, right?
Yeah. We are still very good friends. He's coming like to holidays with me and my family.
Okay, you know what we say over here? No. You know what we say over here? We say small world, because it seems like everyone is connected.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Dino was playing this gig in Bologna. It was the year is probably 2000, Steph.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes, 2001, I think.
Yeah, he was playing this gig, and he was somehow popular in Italy that year because like the music, like kind of like the independent music magazine in Italy called Blow Up awarded him something like the record of the year thing, and he was like, you know, popular with us. I think like, and Dean was staying at my place for a few months because he really liked Italy, liked Bologna. We were doing, you know, we became very fast friends. And then one day at my house, like, this guy just shows up who wants to meet Dean, and that guy is Stefano, but Dean is not there because Dean gave him, like, you know, like a date for listening to music or recording music. Stay, you, like, you came with all, like, your guitars and stuff, no?
With a double bass, I think.
With a double bass, exactly. That, yeah, like, he came there thinking that he was, like, going to be recording with Dean, but Dean wasn't there. Classic Dean, like, you know, fucking everything up already, you know?
Okay, we're going to get more into this, but hold on, Valerio, please, because we're at the end of the first hour. July 24th, 2023 edition, What Pedro Show special guest, Oliver, Valerio, they'll stay. Hold tight for hour two! July 24th, 2023. It's the second hour of the Watch for Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro show, second hour, start off. Stefano Palia, Larry Tricoli with Roman numeral 2. And Doug Wimbush from his solo album, Arabic Cat. Great bass man, Doug. Said no to the Rolling Stones. Can you believe that shit? Yeah. And then Oliver Mann, Stefano Palia with L'Ambra di Palia. Palia, your name. Yeah. So, we got to get to you, Oliver. How'd you meet Tolstoy?
I met him in person through, I first heard Steph, so I came to Steph as a fan, and it was probably 2005, and I was walked downstairs into this record shop called Missing Link in Melbourne, and there was this fantastic shimmering sound coming out of the speakers, and it was, Steph's record, Healing Memories and Other Scattering Times. And it was that kind of, that shimmering drone that's at the very start of that album, I think. Steph, correct me if I'm wrong. And I asked him later how he made that sound, and he said he got like these little electrical solenoids or fans and would like brush them on cymbals. And it was this kind of, I loved it as soon as I heard it. And then I think I must have been on MySpace at that stage, and you could just send people messages, and I found him. I sent him a message like a fanboy and said, I love this record. We got chatting, and then I think I toured to Italy in 2009, and I met up with Steph, and we played a little show.
You know, all some tracks of that record, probably the one you've heard, it was recorded by Valerio.
Everything connected. Everything fucking connected.
I fucking it up.
Already I feel like I'm in the right place because, these are musical moments that you can pinpoint in your life. And just say that it was important that I walked into that room at that moment, and
so you know the stuff I'm playing here, you guys did together. When was that recorded?
I think that was 2020, because maybe 2019. Yeah.
Tell us, Dan, you want to help out? Pandemic. Can you remember? Anybody remember? Well, sometime before yesterday, right?
It was definitely before the pandemic, because Steph arrived from a long flight from Italy through China, and he had a cold, and he got through customs, no worries. So
was 2018. I think it was 2018.
Oh, man. Okay, going back. Correct. Yeah, 2018. Yeah.
Yeah.
And where? Bologna?
Where did we record?
Yeah.
We recorded in a tiny little old sawmilling town called Kerry, which is kind of near... If you're a film fan, you might have seen a film by Peter Weir called Picnic at Hanging Rock. Maybe, which is about these kind of, it's beautiful, beautiful kind of rock that rises up out of the ground, out of the bush. And at the foot of that, there's a little primary school with one room in it. And a mate of mine who used to be in a band called Architecture in Helsinki, he started a studio there. And so he had all this nice gear and this super old, sawmilling town, and it was the coldest day of the year. Steph had a bad cold. He was not sleeping. He was staying with my mom.
So,
and we drove out there with my good friend Mick Turner. And
I know him, the guitar man from Dirty Three.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, I got to jam with them as Filthy Four. We used to do Jaguar during, what was it called, the Big Day?
Mick is a close friend of mine, and
really good, and really good.
I knew Stefano was a fan, and I just thought we'd all get together, and we didn't know what was going to happen. we didn't know.
Sometimes that's a real good thing, though. Sometimes that's a real good thing, because then whatever happens is a big surprise. I want to play here Precious Stone. You remember doing this tune?
I do. I do.
Okay.
が いくつも消えた。 金はいつも無駄遣いだった。 不都合では耳はいつもストレートに正しかった。 不具合でさえ正しかった。 トゥトロア封筒のような人生があり、剣道のような人生があり、 の面倒のような人生があった。しかし私たちは必ず行き止まりになりながら楽園に肉薄した肉薄、星のように裏側から肉薄したハイウェイからこぼれ落ちる者たちが待った。それらを姉妹のポーズで見舞った。それが無礼というものだった。雪山は巨大なのみが現れたようだった。それなのにパジャマのまま犬を散歩させていた。バサバサと書類は飛んだ。ひと思いに退職したかった。焼き鳥屋はボルガと言った。おがくずの備長炭を使っていた。押し固めたチョコレートのようだと思った。遭難の際にはチョコレートが必要だ。今年ももう終わった。芽吹くのは嘘だと思った。カラスはジグソーパズルの欠片のように空にはまっていた。落ち葉も細長い枯れ草も先を争って旋回していた。車たちはいろいろな色をしていたが昼のチャイムのように無意味に思われた。寒さは色に勝っていた。妖精の独り身は枯れ葉が埋まったが、いては孤独さえ孤独から引きずり下ろした。国旗のはためく建物は注意深く記憶に収めた。ワシントンや市のある日の丸と星条旗と寒さが戦っているのを志賀直哉のように観察していた。間違った黒を着ている人が多かった。桜の木のような黒であるべきだと思った。馬太夫が冒頭で墨を出すのはずるいと思っていた。ただそれで仕事青空という曲を作ったんだった。脳梗塞の祈りがミミズの腹をせき止めている。矢別校長の三つの願いとは、校区を広げ共にいて最悪にあってもメンタルで害が及ばないようにしてほしいということだった。理由を知ることによって戦いを進めることができる。文革は感情と同じく人の全体ではない。自由意志は愛のドームの境界内にある。感情ではなく原則に従って良心が働くようになればいいのだと思った。まだまだ効果が必要だった頃の話だ。まだまだ効果が必要だった頃、僕は
Walk for Pedro show at Chunk of Music start off. Oh, man, Stefano Palio doing Precious Stone. GTR plus Mike White. This is a collab I did with some cats. Head Boggle out of East Bay and drummer man. And then Tori from Japan. I mean, he put the vocal over in his production skills. When I was still in need of coins, somebody's using the fucking keyboard. We can hear you real loud over there, okay? Downloading the bestiality porn or whatever. Then Stefano Palio with code 13, Roman numerals again, in parentheses, zero. Cup after that, every moment. Cup is a collab between Nels Klein, Yuka Honda. Oliver Mann, Stefano Palio with Trey Tagli. Okay, you remember doing them songs? Trey Tagli and Precious Stone?
Mm.
I mean, what was going on? Yeah. You didn't know what was going to happen. So was it a lot of improvisation?
Hi, Steph, over to you. That first session, I just sat there. I think maybe I played one song maybe, but I just watched Mick and Steph do a lot of jamming. So over to you, Steph.
Yeah, we came in with some ideas and Mick brought his guitar and play on top, and Oliver, we had a song by Oliver, and then Oliver, for example, Tretagli, he arranged Oliver or written a brass section for the piece.
Ah.
So that came from a totally different perspective.
Sure.
And it was something Oliver wrote around something Mick and I played that day. So there are parts of that record that has been done later.
Yeah, yeah. But let me ask you, Telstay. So, like, the foundation of the album was done at that session, but then it's slowly evolved outside, different
exactly.
countries and things. Yeah, added overdubs and such.
Yes, and Oliver made them into songs, adding his voice and the lyrics later.
Interesting process.
Yeah.
So very dynamic. You don't really know it becomes as it evolves, as it does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sometimes that's really because the right, especially people who love improvisation music, the element surprise gets lost once you practice stuff. Right. I'll use that acting word, rehearse. And so there's something about that can maybe be a workaround where you can still keep that element of surprise. Very interesting. I you know, because me, I'm listening to the music. I don't know where it comes from. So I'm really interested on, you know, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, right? It's the shit going in my ear holes. But I am curious about how, you know, it's origin story,
well,
right?
It was tricky for me, actually, because I heard these pieces that Mick and Stefano did, and I was like, I don't want to fuck with this. It's too special. I don't want to hear myself on this. And then I talked to Mick and he said, I actually kind of consciously left space every now and again. He would just leave space in his head while he was playing for something else to happen. And that made me feel a bit better about kind of putting something on top of this beautiful sound that was already existed. So I was kind of felt like I was treading very carefully at first. And then I just felt a bit more free, which was good.
There's this expression, right? Gild the lily. Is that what you're talking about? Like
too much.
You overwrought, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to overcook it, you know?
Right. Oh, yeah, like poach. I've noticed with poach chow, everything tastes the same. Like, right? It gets to like kind of a mush. You ain't got any teeth, it's probably good, but yeah, it's good to have a little fucking char going. So in a way, you were kind of the decider. Like, they gave you all the raw parts, and then, Valerio was talking about, he was in cinema. Would you call your collab with Mick Taylor, Stefano Palio, kind of like a cinematic thing? Like, you were editing film and scenes?
So sometimes it felt like that. It felt like I had, because we were kind of, there was one day where we got together, a mix. I went over to Bologna. I was touring with a choir to Sweden, and I went down and met Stefano, and we mixed, I think, one, two or three tracks, something like that, Steph. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But other than that, Steph's busy, you know, he's a busy man. Touring, working all the time. And me, I'm just kind of at home twiddling my thumbs and thinking, what can I do with this record? How can I mess with it? How can I do this? And having a good time. Maybe I sitting away with my beret and on my deck chair like a movie director.
Beret? Is that what, like butt naked? We're at the end of the second hour, July 24, 2023. Dish Wap Pito's special guest, Oliver Mann, Valerio Tricoli, Stefano Pleo. Hold tight for our feet. July 24, 2023, third hour of the Wap for Pedro show.
Hey, that was it. We'll be right back.
Watch for Pedro Show. Start off the third hour. Stefano Pelli and Valeria Tricoli with CP Extract.
The extract you want. It's the extract you got.
Right, that's the captain, right?
She's not bad. She's just genetically mean.
I got to do that with Nels Klein once. So what's it called? Dirty Blue Jean. Now, she ain't bad. She's just genetically mean. Spilled the ink down the sink from the brink. Yeah. Model Home and Wolf Eyes. They just made a collab album. Two good bands, man. Helping Cats. Invisible Thread vocal. Then Ray Shin out of Reno with Bax Theater. Jeb Bishop and Damon Smith. Damon Smith's out touring with Joe Beiser right now. East Coast, sweating to death. School Device. That's a title. Fuck. And then finally, Oliver Mann, Stefano Pelli with Blood Red Rubies, Satin Ebony. Oh, that's an image. Valerio, please. Tell me about this recording. First, tell me, what the fuck does CP Extract mean?
I really don't know what you're called. The CP Extract?
I can answer to that. It's an extract because the record we did is not different song. It's like a one block composition. So we made a couple of.
I get it now. Yeah, sorry.
Ah, so in a way, please, it's kind of a the first three parts. It's kind of a summation, highlights, or something like that.
The record is just like, you know, I mean, it's just two tracks of approximately 20 minutes each. Then maybe there are like snippets of it for online promotional purposes. Okay. But yeah, as I see it, it's just like one single piece.
Okay, and what was the way it was created? Was it one session?
The way it was created, this was like pretty weird, because me and Stefano, we were supposed to play together in Bologna during the COVID lockdown for a video series of some kind, of like music video kind of the thing, but then I couldn't make it from Munich to Bologna, so I recorded an improvisation on my gear, my electronic gear, and I sent it to Stefano, and he performed in Bologna, improvising on top of this material that was like pre-made.
Okay.
Does that make any sense to you?
You know, yeah, makes sense. You went first, he went second. Now, who ends up mixing it?
Me, finally.
Okay.
Stefano did this gig. Then I think he recorded other stuff. He sent it to me. I mixed it, and that's the record, which is, like, by far the record that probably me and Stefano ever did. That took the less time to actually make, which is not a bad thing.
No.
Finally, I like it more than things that I'm working on since like years.
Yes. Usually, a three-quarter records was always at least 2 or 3 years of editing, composition, fighting, arguing about parts we didn't like, you know, change that. And of course, this was very, very, very quick, very intuitive.
Okay. So maybe, would you say lucky?
Probably also, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Valeria.
No, I don't think it's lucky. It's just like, I mean, the circumstances were strange, like the kind of circumstances that you would never choose to start with, you know, to, you know, process a record this way. But nevertheless, the record is good because, like, Stefano did, like, great stuff, you know? I mean, and I did some whatever noises I make.
So I don't think it's not only that. I think also is the fact when you we played so much together, and I think it's something. And then there is a big goal that where you don't compose together or you don't play together. And I think when you it happens that we had this occasion to meet again, and there was something, you know, like. Everything was very fresh because I think what we did in the past came back with more knowledge and less and probably more spontaneous and without the necessity of necessarily
not thinking. Yeah,
exactly. Be so affirmative.
Kind of a feel, yeah. Like a renewal, like springtime. Winter's over. Let's do it again. Let's do a fresh season. But you have history. You have experiences. So that also adds up to it. Yeah, interesting. You can't, Heraclitus, right? You can't stand in the river twice. That kind of thing. I want to play something that you did with Oliver Mann, though. Little Ada's Donkey.
Thank you.
Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Chunk started off with Oliver Mann, Stefano Pellia doing Little Ada's Donkey. Then Erica Lon Lyle, a Seed, a Star, Slash, Tree medley. Erica's playing guitar right now for Bikini Kill. They're touring. M Mountain Offenses, Brother Phil up Mammoth, bigger guitars. DK Jam It All Over version 2.0. Finally, Stefano Pellia with The Holy Ghost Bird. Okay, plans of the future. Is there going to be another Stefano Pellia, Oliver Mann collab? And Mick, you know what? Why isn't Mick Turner's name in the title?
He didn't want it. He said he had a lot of projects going on at the time, and he said, no, he rocked up and he played, and he's all over the record, but I think for him, he wanted to focus on some other projects at the time.
That's okay. That's cool. Was he wearing a Hawaiian shirt? He likes Hawaiian shirts, right?
Steph, can you remember? I don't think so.
Every fucking time I've seen him, he's worn a Hawaiian shirt. He looks like a guy from Manhattan Beach here or something, you know. Like California look a little bit. A lot of Australian cats remind me of, or maybe a... It's the other way around. I don't know. But let me ask you this. Future plans with you and Tell Stay?
Me and Fratello Stay, we will meet together somewhere on the continuum.
Great.
And we'll do it again in a different way. Hopefully meet too, and we'll see. We've been throwing a few little things around.
I love what you guys did, man, and I would love to hear chapter two. Okay, and now let me ask the same thing with you, Valerio. Any plans for further collab with Fratello Stay?
The collab with whom, sorry?
The other fucker on the fucking call here.
I think we're a lot of strong soda pounds, you know?
In your mind, can you see another collaboration with Fratello Stay, Valerio?
With Stefano, yeah, of course.
Okay. Because I love this record you guys did too. So I would like to see chapter twos from both collaborations.
Never ending. It never stopped and will never stop.
Okay, but you're probably it'll be different circumstance because that situation
very unique. Yeah.
Well, look, for both you guys, you and Oliver, and Fratello Stay too, when you get your round twos of both your collabs, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it again like we did today?
Absolutely. Ah, I was there.
Great, great. Grazie.
Sure. Thank you. Yeah. Grazie, fratello mate.
Yeah, of course. It's beautiful.
Thank you, Mike.
You know, thanks, Mike.
I can't tell you how inspiring it is when you hear your buddies being creative with music. Man, it makes you right away, I want to pick up the bass, start recording, start composing. It's just, it's like an infection, you know? It's kind of like a virus. So I really, really appreciate you guys keeping on, keeping on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One, two, you too.
And I promise. Yes.
Next things we do would be great to have some parts of you on bass if you are up for.
Absolute. Absolute. Oh. Thank you for the invite. Yeah, I would be right there to aid in the bet and help any way I could.
Great.
Can. Will. Thank you so much. Look, we're at the end of the July 24, 2023. This week, Walk for Pedro show. Keep your powder dry.